Welcome back to KNBR, the sports leader. You're listening to Bill Lasky filling in for Marty Lurie, and we're talking baseball today on a beautiful Saturday here in San Francisco. I'm excited to speak to my next guest. He was a fellow teammate, a number one pick for the San Francisco Giants in 1981. Let's bring in Mark Grant. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
Bill Lasky, a.k.a. Tree, my life is now complete. I can die and go to heaven and know that I spoke to you today on this Saturday. How are you, number 19? Hey, I got a question for you. I'm going to interview you before you interview me.
Of course, that's how you've always been, Mark. But listen, on a serious note, I want to ask you about you and your family, about the Palo Verde Ranch fire. Are you safe now? Because, as you know, Northern California is in the same struggles as you guys.
Yeah. First of all, I hope everybody is safe out there and taking precautions to, pack up and be ready to evacuate. We were in that mode. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We had bags packed. We had cars packed. We are fine right now. We've been very fortunate. The winds were in our favor, and it really stinks because I hate to see on the news people that are losing houses and having to leave in a panic and not knowing if they're going to come back to their house. But we were fortunate enough. They moved to the southeast and southwest of us. So right now, actually, I'm out looking by our house, south and southeast and southwest. And, the air quality is not good, obviously. But, we're doing fine. Thank you so much for asking. And I just hope that everybody throughout the state of California, Northern California, down here is safe. And please take precautions because, first and foremost, your safety and well-being of your family. And, if you've got livestock, horses, whatever, that's been big out here, Bill, because a lot of people have horses. And there have been facilities that have taken their horses and stuff to safekeeping. So just I hope everybody gets through this without any drastic things happening to them or their family. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, well, Mark, we have had so many hurdles in this year of 2020, and one of the biggest things as announcers aren't traveling. And I wanted to talk about your team, Don Orsolo, and you being number one broadcast team once again. Congratulations. Of course, Giant fans are partial to Kruk and Kipe. We won't get into that. But I just want to find out a couple things of how are you managing doing the broadcast, and how is that translating with no travel?
I'll tell you what, Tree, I don't mind this no traveling thing. There are things that I miss. I miss going to the ballpark. I miss coming to San Francisco to see you. I miss being in San Francisco and going over to the booth to talk to Kruk and Kipe, who I think, hands down, are the number one broadcast team in all of baseball. That's just my honest opinion. I'm a little biased, obviously, and you know that. But, it's where we all have to make adjustments, players, coaches, families, broadcasters. And there's something to be said about technology these days to where when the team is on the road, we go to the ballpark. We telecast our games at Petco Park from our booth. They set up multiple monitors. We've got like six or eight monitors in our booth to give us decent looks. And it's an adjustment, but it's doable. And the nice thing is, after the game, hop in the car, no traffic, and you get to sleep in your own bed and go to your own home, which is nice. Some of it's great. Some of it I miss. I don't miss getting on the plane after a game at 1:30 in the morning and flying into Cincinnati at 3:30 in the morning. That I don't miss, Yeah. But I think we're going to find out that through technology and stuff, this might be the wave of the future. You never know. But we're adjusting, and, the bottom line, Bill, is that people are watching baseball, they're seeing baseball, and that's what they want.
And you're absolutely right, Mark. I think the broadcasts have been great. Of course, the first couple to move over and change this and change that, and you're watching it off a monitor. But watching you two and watching Kruk and Kipe, you guys haven't missed a step. And to listen to Kruk every day up here has been a blessing. And, of course, with Kipe and Kruk, it's been great entertainment. Mm-hmm. These guys are superstars, as well as you and Don are in the San Diego area. And I want to kind of get into a couple of things I know you are really, really good at. And I want to talk about the uniforms the Padres are wearing this year.
I love them.
And there's a couple players, the Oakland A's say they look like silk pajamas. Well, you know what? I still wear silk pajamas. So there's nothing wrong with those yellow uniforms. Tell me your thoughts on it.
Well, first of all, to envision you in silk pajamas, I could see you in your slippers and a pipe walking around the house after reading the Wall Street Journal. Oh yeah. You know what? To me, you know what, Tree? I'm partial and I'm biased to the brown. I love the brown because when I was traded from the Giants to the Padres, we wore the brown. And I liked it. It was unique. It was uniquely San Diego. So when they brought it back, I was the biggest cheerleader. I was on board big time. I think they look great. I think it distinguishes and separates the Padres apart because, you know, in the years past, you know, they were blue, they were orange, they were blue, they were gold, they were blue. You know, blue was the primary color. So many teams have blue. Mm-hmm. So now, like, when you turn on the TV, you know it's the Padres.
Oh, I love them.
It sets them apart, and it's unique.
I really like the color schemes. I do.
Yeah, I really do, too. And I think the people who put the uniform together and, you know, because they've spent a lot of time trying to design, I think they did a great job, and it sets us apart. And I could not be a bigger fan. I love it.
Well, I know you look at uniforms, so I'm going to throw a couple different teams out there, and you tell me your thoughts. The Toronto Blue Jays powder blue unis.
I am a huge fan of the powder blue. In fact,
I think that looks cool.
Yeah, I do too. You know, we're a product of, you know, I'll be 57 in October, okay? So when I was a kid, 8 years old, 10 years old, and then, you know, through, you know, 18 through high school, you know, that's my wheelhouse. And mm-hmm. I think, Bill, if you look back when you grew up, you know, that time period, you became a fan of baseball, were a huge baseball fan, to where you looked at uniforms. I loved the powder blue Cardinals. Yeah. I loved it when the Twins. I loved it, the Blue Jays. I loved the whole Toronto. I'm glad they went back to the original font and number scheme with the Blue Jays. I think, and that white panel hat with the Blue Jay.
Oh, classic.
I absolutely love that. Yeah, I love it.
I got a couple other jerseys. What about the red Indian jerseys, the Cleveland Indian red? I think those are really sharp.
Yeah, the red sticks out. I really like that a lot. Great tradition in that franchise. You know what? Remember they call it the Caveman C? I think Kipe wore that uniform. Mm-hmm. It was like the crooked C on the hat.
Sure do.
I really like that. And when I think of Cleveland Indians uniforms, I think of the great, and he was our manager, Frank Robinson, player manager for the Tribe. Remember they wore the all red unis, the red pants, the red
tops? Stripe on the pants, sure do.
Oh, gosh, those were classic.
Well, absolutely. Did you know, Mark, the Giants are going back to their names on their home jerseys next year. They're changing it. They're putting the names on the jerseys once again, and those were back in our era.
Yeah, you know, I like that. And I understand, you know, in this day and age, I just like the name on the back of the uniform. I think it's a really good look. And, you know, back in the day, and I'm going way back, you know, oh, hey, you can't tell the players without a scorecard because, you know, the numbers on the back but no name, and it made them sell scorecards or whatever. But I think that's changed. I like the idea. And you know what? It's kind of cool, Tree, and you can attest to this as well as I can. There was nothing like walking in that big league clubhouse when I first got called up to the big leagues, and I went to my locker and I saw my name on the back of that uniform and wore it proudly. I think you would say the same thing, right?
Oh, totally. I mean, that's when you made it to the big leagues, when you saw your own uniform with a name on it in your own locker, the name plate on top. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we both remember those, our first day in the big leagues. And then every day I'd always walk to my locker, make sure nobody was in it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, listen, let's talk about this hot San Diego Padre team. You've been broadcasting for over 20 years. So this has got to be really exciting for you. And especially, hey, don't put it past this team. This team could easily overpass those L.A. Dodgers. This National League West is not complete yet.
No, and, you know, in a 60-game season, you talk about a team that gets hot at the right time. You know, it's a shortened season, so things are going really well for the Padres right now. And I like the playoff scheme, you know, two teams from each division and then the wild card, so it gives more teams of a chance to make it to the playoffs, which I really, really like. But everything is clicking right now. I mean, before the trade deadline, the Padres had a good team. They were competitive, solid. But I tell you what, A.J. Preller made these deals, acquiring 8 new players. And it's like, oh, my gosh. Talk about the mentality of going for it. AJ Preller was all in. And with those trades, we really solidified a lot of our roster and made it so much better. You know, Bill, our catching position was so non-productive. I mean, Austin Hedges, great kid. Francisco Mejia, wish him nothing but the best. But our catching situation was horrible. The production was it was non-existent. And we acquired Jason Castro. We acquired Austin Nola. And just like that, since they've been here, they've been big-time producers helping in our offense. And, you know, when Kirby Yates went down, our closer last year, 41 saves for Kirby, he had elbow bone chips in his elbow. He acquired Trevor Rosenthal from the Royals. And, oh, my gosh, what a shot in the arm, no pun intended there, for the bullpen. So we're clicking right now. They are clicking right now, and it's been fun to watch.
We're speaking to Mark Grant on Talking Baseball here on a Saturday afternoon in San Francisco. You know, one of the biggest things, Mark, you and I were pitchers our whole career, and you changed for two new catchers, even though they're veteran catchers, to come over and really kind of a little more than over half of the 60 games and take over a pitching staff. Yeah. How important was that, and how hard was that for both these catchers?
Well, after finding out what happened after the trade and talking to some people and the adjustments that pitchers and the catchers have made, Austin Nola and Jason Castro have just been phenomenal. I'll tell you what, when Austin Nola caught in Colorado, he caught Garrett Richards. It was the first game that he had caught. And I would have sworn that he had been in the roster for the whole season. I would have sworn that Austin Nola was the personal catcher for Garrett Richards. They were on the same page. He was framing pitches nicely. He was blocking balls in the dirt. It was like he'd been catching them 15, 20 starts. So, you know as well as anybody, Bill, when a new catcher comes up, there's a lot of dialogue between the pitching staff and the catchers.
Yeah.
You know, they'll probably watch some video. They'll catch some bullpens. And these guys are so good. These guys are so good that you can catch 15, 20 pitches in a bullpen and get an idea of what a guy throws and then go there in a game and look just fine. So, the upgrade in the catching position and how they've handled the pitching staff has just been phenomenal for the Padres.
Well, let's talk about the starting pitcher today. I watched him pitch against Colorado, and he was lights out, 11 strikeouts. Lamet Dinelson, am I saying it right?
Yeah, Dinelson, okay. Lamet.
Oh, is it? Say it again.
Dinelson.
Dinelson Lamet. Okay, I just opposite. Yep. I'm reading it off notes, that's why. But I tell you what, sure. For what he's done for the San Diego Padres in the starting rotation, they have won seven out of his nine starts. He's got a 2.24 earned run average. And like I said, the Colorado game was phenomenal. 11 strikeouts and no walks. Tell us a little scouting reporter what we can see today.
The kid's electric. He pounds the strike zone. He's not scared. He will throw his slider anytime. He's a kid who's coming off Tommy John surgery, and he's throwing harder, and his location is better than before. His major league debut back a couple years ago, I remember it very, very specifically against Michael Conforto, who led off the game in New York. He threw him three pitches, uno, dos, adios, struck him out, and I was like, wow. The slider was biting, and he was just really phenomenal. Then he had the surgery and bounced back. So what you can expect is a guy who goes right after these hitters. He'll throw his slider anytime. In fact, his slider and fastball ratio is pretty much 50-50.
Yeah.
He's pretty much a two-pitch pitcher. So if he can locate that fastball, which he has touched 100, which we see a lot these days, but still, it's something quite special. But the slider anytime, pound the strike zone, not scared off, and he's got the chance to, the sky's the limit for this kid. And just one of the four or five guys that the Padres have that can make a big difference in a playoff push.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this offense. I mean, that's one major step that the Padres have done. And, of course, when you look in this lineup, there's two people that just jump right off the scorecard, and that's Tatis Jr. Let's go to him first. Tell me your thoughts on him and also an MVP possibility.
Most exciting player in baseball right now, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a Padre announcer, and I'm not just saying that because I get a chance to see him each and every day. I talk to people who watch baseball each day, and they watch the Padres. And because of this kid, they're watching Padres and tuning in. And it's both sides of the baseball. Mm-hmm. It's offensively, the numbers are incredible. And Bill, when young players come up, if they come on and they're putting up numbers that are just astronomical, the pitchers make an adjustment and they kind of come back down to earth kind of quickly. You've seen that before. And but with Tatis last year, he was on the DL a couple times and put up great numbers when he was healthy. And it seems like no pitcher has made an adjustment against this guy. But if they have, Tatis is just making the other adjustment and continuing to put up great numbers. Defensively, one of the better shortstops I've ever seen. It's just both sides of the scorecard. You never know what he's going to do each and every night. He's been fun to watch.
And also, Mark, being 21 years old, that is just captivating to anybody watching him. You know, he plays like he's been in the league 10 years. And right next to him at third base side is Manny Machado. And he got the big contract. And I tell you what, both of these guys playing off each other. And I love their excitement, their high fives, they're jumping on guys. And that just has to bring some excitement to Manny Machado. And those two guys are just living off each other. And it's a breed in this lineup that every pitcher, every time they look around, guess what? Here they come up again, and they're back-to-back.
Yeah. Yeah, they can hurt you. Manny, you know, he struggled early on in the season. He's a guy who can carry a team. But also, with this lineup now, it seems like everybody is contributing, because the Padres are almost, you know, scoring 6 runs a game, which is good. But I think Fernando kind of feeds off on Manny. I think Manny does a great job at third base. We know that. He's a Gold Glove winner at third base. But having these guys on the left side of the infield is a pitcher's dream. If our pitching staff doesn't get a strikeout, if you keep the ball on the ground, you got a pretty good chance of winning. And now that Manny and Fernando are doing well, you know, they pitch around those guys. Still, they put up good numbers. But other guys are contributing, too. So it's a great combination, left side of the infield, for the Padres. They are really fun to watch.
Well, one of the unique things that's happened in San Diego are the Grand Slams, and your partner named it Slam Diego. I've never seen that many Grand Slams, and, of course, you got to get 3 people on to have an opportunity to do that. Tell me your thoughts about that, and that's got to excite that booth, you and Don, accordingly.
Yeah. You know, Tree, the saying, when you go to the ballpark, you're watching a game, and you say to yourself, boy, I don't think I've ever seen that, right? You've done it before, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? 4 Grand Slams in 4 consecutive – a Grand Slam in 4 consecutive games, it's never happened in Major League history. So it's kind of cool to be able to say I was there to witness it, and then 5 Grand Slams in 6 days. And like you said, you hit the nail on the head. You got to be lucky. You got to get runners on base. But the on-base percentage for the Padres is one of the better ones. The slugging percentage for the Padres is one of the better ones in Major League Baseball. So the opportunities are numerous. I mean, we've had so many opportunities for Grand Slam. So the stars were aligned. It was just unbelievable. And on that 4th one, when Hosmer was up, I was giggling like a kid in school, you know, asked to be quiet.
I couldn't believe that. And it's like, I cannot believe your giggle up there.
I know. Oh, yeah, I know. Exactly. So bases are loaded. They've hit 3 in a row. And it's like, okay, is this going to happen? And what do you know? Eric Hosmer hits one over the wall. And it's like just one of the most unbelievable things we've seen. And it was a major league record. And it was really, really cool.
Well, one of the statistics that's kind of under the radar, and I picked it up, is the stolen base. The Padres have over 40 stolen bases, and to me, I just think that's so cool to see runners take off. You got double steals, things like that. Tell me your thoughts on that, on the Padres, and I'm telling you what, those little things like that are under the radar. Now, a lot of teams aren't understanding the Padres when they get on base. They got some speed, too.
Yeah, you know what? This game, Bill, has been – and I think you would agree with me. It's kind of, you know, offense-driven as far as, you know, swinging the bat. So the stolen base has kind of gone by the wayside. But it shows you the balance of this Padres team, not only offensively, slugging percentage, extra base hits, the pop in the bats, but also the ability to steal the base and putting pressure on a team. I mean, it's one thing to have a lineup that can just pound the baseball and, you know, hit homers and have good on-base percentage. But when you draw a walk, which the Padres do well, when you hit a single, and then you put in the stolen base, I mean, I think that's something that's gone by the wayside. Not a lot of teams do that. Not a lot of teams have the players to take advantage of that. And it just goes to show you, I think, how well-rounded the Padres are. The pitching's coming around. The starting pitching's coming around. The bullpen's coming around. I mean, everything is clicking right now. It's almost scary good to watch this team. I know, you know, I'm not saying they're going to win the whole thing, but they've got one heck of a chance like everybody else. And timing is everything. You get down to the last couple weeks of September before the playoffs, you know, it's not necessarily the best team. It's the team that's playing the best.
Well, Mark, every year Kruk and Kipe talk about you, and they talked about you a lot on the air. And one of the stories Kipe keeps bringing up, and I want to get your thoughts on it, is he used to take you to the Candlestick Park all the time your rookie year, jump in his car, and you guys would drive to the park. And he said several times he would put on his cassette with his home run that he hit off Steve Stone, and you would sit there and you would accept it and not say a word. Tell me your thoughts on those days.
Well, I remember the first time it happened. I was in my apartment. It was my rookie season in 84. You were on the team. And Kipe calls me, says, "Hey, get ready. We're going to go to dinner." It was after a day game. And I go, "Okay, good." Yeah, I'm all excited. So he says, "Meet me out front in 5 minutes." So he pulls up in his Mercedes convertible. And you remember that car he drove.
Sure.
And old smoothie.
Totally
smoothie.
So I get
it. I said, hey, where are we going? And he goes, and he puts his finger up to his mouth, kind of like, "Be quiet."
Yeah.
And he slips in a cassette. And then for the people listening, for the young people who are listening, they don't know what a cassette tape is. Look it up. And all of a sudden, it's like a radio call. And it's like, "Here's the pitch to Kiper," and it swung on, long drive, right field. And it's like, "Oh my gosh, he's playing his home run call on a cassette." And every time I got in his car, he would play that. So it was classic. It was awesome. I love seeing the video as well.
Yeah.
The look on Kite's face when he's rounding the bases and slapping the third base coach's hand around the third base with that big smile on his face, it's just something I'll always remember. And it was great.
Well, Mark Grant, the pride of Joliet Catholic High School in Chicago, I appreciate your time today, and it's always a pleasure hearing you and seeing your mug on the San Diego Padre telecast, and continued success. And I'm going to leave you with two words, as you always say on every tweet: carry on.
Carry on, my friend. Trey, you're the best. Thank you so much for having me, and hello to all the great Giant fans and people of San Francisco.
Mark, thanks again, my friend. We'll talk sooner or later. All right, that was Mark Grant on KNBR, the sports leader, and we'll be right back.